Yeah, I don't have enough details on what may or may not have happened in that deal as of right now.
That was Cliff Kingsbury yesterday when asked about DeAndre Hopkins situation, which circulated on social media pregame and then during the game and then after the game on Sunday, where DeAndre Hopkins was pictured by motorists in a caravan, whatever word you want to use for Donald Trump supporters on a Valley freeway in his Ferrari, all kinds of accusations going on. A couple people even tweeted out that he, you know, he was pulled over by DPS. DPS has not confirmed that he was ever pulled over. There's no record of any traffic stop. But we'd waited and waited to hear an explanation from DeAndre Hopkins.
And before you play it, I would like to add this, that on the surface, this story has kind of just been sitting out there because on its surface, it's an immense story. It's a transcendent athlete who is a newcomer to his city, possibly potentially flipping off a political caravan in one of the most polarizing elections / calendar years we have ever encountered. So the headlines, all of that stuff about this, regardless of your political party affiliation, and regardless of what political party might have been involved in the caravan, when you get an athlete of DeAndre Hopkins' stature doing something like that in the midst of these polarizing times, it's a story that makes you go, whoa, what is this all about? There was just a lot of ambiguity as to exactly what was he doing, what was DeAndre Hopkins expressing, and what was actually going on around him. A lot of conflicting reports. So DeAndre Hopkins, as I said yesterday, as a guy, he's not going to play the politically correct game. So I didn't think he was going to run from this story. This is an interesting side of his story.
Yeah, this is from the All Things Covered podcast, which is Patrick Peterson's podcast with Bryant McFadden. The explanation from DeAndre Hopkins.
On the way to the stadium, you made headlines. I guess there were some Trump supporters on the road, and they felt like, you know, you were driving fast, and you kind of flicked them off.
Driving on the highway, I guess I got in between a train or, you know, a bunch of cars that I wasn't supposed to be in between in my car. And, you know, they was honking the horn at me and stuff like that, I guess, to tell me to get out of their way. And, you know, I didn't. And the guy in front of me stepped on his brakes and, you know, tried to stop dead in traffic. And I got around him and I stuck him a birdie. I really, you know, was about to stick, you know, do the peace sign to him. But this finger right here was kind of hurting, so it ain't make it up in time. But, yeah, man, you know, it was like, darn, dude, you know, you trying to stop on brakes and dead traffic, you know, because I'm in you guys, you know, train or whatnot, just trying to go to work. And so, yeah, it wasn't nothing, you know, nothing thrown out the car or anything like that. No speeding. Obviously, you see me, you know, right there. If I was in a Ferrari, you know, speeding, you know, I don't think you'd be able to just take a still picture of me.
Right.
But, yeah, that's all.
So okay, it's a very thorough description.
Yeah, and this was more of a case of garden variety road rage than it is a political demonstration.
Yeah, because the caravan that was going on was of a political nature doesn't mean the frustration was of a political nature.
No. Now, you are taught in moments of anger to your fellow drivers, which we all have on quite frequently a daily basis, not to flip birds because, well, that's a dangerous thing to do. You escalate situations.
Yes.
Okay. And we all try to live by that. We all fail at that as well. I would say this is a perfectly plausible explanation, possibly. And I say that because I am somebody who was caught up in exactly what DeAndre Hopkins was caught up in. And once again, regardless of political affiliation, what is happening on these freeways, in my opinion, it's not safe. It's not cool. I was in the midst of this two Saturdays ago trying to get to Tempe to pick up my daughter. Okay. And I'm all for freedom of expression. But when you're on the expressway and suddenly traffic is surging, then locking up, then surging, then braking, And then the people who are just trying to get somewhere are trying to pass on shoulders. You encounter people in front of you who are gawking or filming, and the whole thing becomes gridlock. It's a joke. These are supposed to be thoroughfares. And so from that standpoint, regardless of what is the political affiliation of that convoy ain't cool because it's dangerous. And I witnessed it.
Oh, I witnessed it to a different level on Saturday, much smaller gathering. And it was probably, I don't know, 10 to 12 cars.
Right.
But I was at the tail end of it going where, and I had my son in the car as well. And, you know, easily going 25 miles an hour under the speed limit.
Yeah, listen, and whoever you are, whatever your political affiliation is, if you are passionate enough about it to get around like-minded people and celebrate it, that's perfectly cool. I'm down with that. That's America. But when you do it on a freeway and you're actually endangering just people who are trying to get where they're going, because that is what I witnessed, it's what I experienced. That to me, and I didn't flip anybody off, I just got the heck out of there. But so that's what DeAndre Hopkins chose to do. Now, is that cool for DeAndre Hopkins to do? Well, not necessarily, no. I wouldn't advise his reaction as well. Well, but he's driving in an expensive sports car, and he says somebody locked up the brakes in front of him. Okay.
On Sunday, after that story started to circulate, and it was all over the news, it was all over social media that these caravans were going on all around Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to drop my son off. You know, I live in North Central Phoenix. He lives in the Northwest Valley. So I'm thinking I have to leave extra early. So I have to take side streets because I didn't want to get caught up in that because I do think it's unsafe.
Well, it is. I mean, I experienced it. I saw it happen. And I saw people in front of me just when I thought we were going to get through and get by it and just let them do their thing. The guy in front of me locks up his brakes as he wants to film it now. And it's just, it turns a freeway into a gridlock situation. So that's what I experienced. And again, regardless of political affiliation, I don't think that's okay to do on expressways. It's very dangerous. Some people are coming, going very fast, and suddenly there's this mass of people surging, stopping, honking, and okay. There's a time and a place for it. I just don't think on an expressway is the time and the place for it.
As an aside to all this, I'm still amazed that Patrick Peterson has a podcast during an NFL season. Like, I know it's 2020 and athletes have that kind of thing. It's just crazy that an active athlete on a team can have a podcast, you know, like that and have other teammates and stuff.
Why is that amazing?
The way that sports control everything, especially with information getting out and with the media and dealing with the media and stuff, you don't think that's kind of crazy that, you know, you're allowed to then have a podcast and talk about pretty much what, like, I don't think Patrick Peterson has to send the audio into the Cardinals to get it approved before it gets posted.
No, not at all. It's an ingenious approach. They're controlling their own message. Athletes are doing it all over. And if it's the in-season thing, I mean, that podcast is recorded on Mondays and Tuesdays, days off, basically.
Well, he broke some news. Props to Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, they did.
And his podcast.
I would have loved to have had DeAndre Hopkins on this show telling that story.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So I wonder if the Cardinals fans who lashed out at DeAndre Hopkins on Twitter, if they feel a little differently following that explanation. Now, clearly he was messing around with the index fingers, not feeling well.
Yeah.
Okay. Clearly he's just kind of trolling there, and that is what it is. Whatever.
Yeah. But the phrase that holds the most weight there to me, just trying to get to work.
Yeah.
And so, there was reports from media members who were trying to get to the game, and there wasn't that much media. Imagine if we were in a normal year, and you had game day traffic, that could have turned into a nightmare.
Yeah.
Thankfully, that wasn't the case. But there was people that were, you know, late to covering the game because of the gridlock scenario.
Yeah. Listen, and it's and again, I wonder if indeed DeAndre Hopkins' persona or his status is going to be affected among some Cardinals fans who were offended by the visuals of what was originally thought to be the narrative. That seems to be a more relatable, sensible explanation that is not necessarily or tied to politics at all. Okay? So there's that.
I mean, there's a possibility it could be both.
Could be both.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And so that's where that whole thing is. But it's in the minds of, this is also, though, why DeAndre Hopkins' teammates have always loved him, even for the limited practice availability. It's because he doesn't kowtow, if you will, under any circumstance. So there's a lot of, he's perceived as being very individually strong.
And
you can do that when you're financially secure. It's a lot easier to be like that when you're financially secure.
And also when you're really, really, really good.
And when you're really, really, really good. Like, yeah, you kind of have to have those boxes checked.
Another reason why his teammates don't care as much as that he doesn't practice and don't care about all this activism stuff is because he's really, really, really good. And he always delivers on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is true.
And he cares. I mean, when he fumbled the ball Sunday night, you could see how much it bothered him. So, yeah, I think what the Cardinals have received from DeAndre Hopkins very much fits the profile of everything he is and has done.
One of our listeners tweeted us yesterday and said, yeah, that's why DeAndre Hopkins fumbled, because his index fingers were hurting.
That's funny. That's good.
The other story that's out there that people are still talking about from Sunday night's game is the Buda Baker play, where Buda Baker intercepts Russell Wilson near the goal line. Looks like he's got a clear path to an easy touchdown. Gets caught from behind by a otherworldly effort by DK Metcalf, who runs him down at the 8-yard line. Buda Baker joined Burns and Gambo yesterday and kind of gave his take on that play.
So I was actually just running. I saw Russ, and I really believe like Russ was the only guy. So once I got past Russ, I was still sprinting, but I didn't feel him until it was too late. I turned, I saw him in the Jumbotron, then I turned around, he was right there.
It was an amazing play.
Yeah,
you very rarely see effort like that, unless it's a really fast player chasing down a lineman or a linebacker, but this was a wide receiver chasing down a very fast defensive back. Buda Baker is very fast, so that's what made it that much more eye-popping. But listen to this, Bic. Buda Baker, turns out, was mic'd up by NFL Films.
Oh, no.
For that?
Ha! Was he really?
So this is actual audio.
How'd he catch my ass? What the?
That is my favorite moment of the season so far, folks. How'd he catch my ass? That is great.
And then he went on Twitter after the game and said, DK hawked me. And then DeAndre Hopkins actually quote tweeted that and said, yeah, but we hawked them.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Oh, that is phenomenal.
Can you imagine how
the line that he take? DK Metcalf, it's like there's not even a moment of disappointment that Russell Wilson threw an interception. He just put his head down and hit the Jets. And he took a beat. You're right. The visuals of watching him do it, it's stunning.
But can you imagine the visuals had the Cardinals lost that game?
Oof.
And that play was instrumental in preventing points?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been James Harrison in reverse.
Because, you know, right after they failed to score any points on that possession, I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be one of the painful memories right there.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can look at it and go, wow, good effort, DK Metcalf. Way to go. You just
How'd he catch my ass? What the?
That's the greatest. That might be the greatest thing I've ever heard. That is.
Sign up for Bic's Picks. Text Pick to 620-620 to sign up and compete for a weekly prize from Pizza Hut. You'll also be competing against Dan Bickley for your chance to win the grand prize, a 75-inch TV courtesy of Corona Extra. Once again, that's Pick, P-I-C-K, to 620-620. Well, we got all kinds of good audio today, Bic.
I love that.
From around the NFL.
I was not ready for that Buda Baker thing. That is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. Oh, man.
I think that's going to live for a while in Jarrett's rotation.
How'd he catch my ass? What the?
What the? That is fabulous.
Like, let's say in a little bit when we play mustache, not a mustache, and I jump out to a lead on you, and you end up winning.
Oh.
Yeah, there we go. There's all kinds of applications for that. The Dallas Cowboys, man, just a festering dumpster fire right now. They got blown out 25-3 at the hands of the Washington football team on Sunday. They have fallen out of first place now in the NFC East. They are 2-5. Jerry Jones, the owner/general manager of the Cowboys, does a weekly hit on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. That's the station we hooked up with last week and had the crosstalk with. Listen to this exchange between the host and Jerry Jones.
Does your team have a leadership void? where in the offensive line, where you,
just overall where, when
seriously,
these
but seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no.
I'm asking.
There's not a. Well, just shut up and let me answer. No,
Jerry. When you go into the locker room, what I'm asking is, do you see the intangibles?
You're not asking me that. I gave you the answer. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Okay.
Now, that's your answer.
Here's a rule of thumb.
Uh-huh.
When you're asking the leader of an organization if there's a leadership void, when there so clearly is, and he can't identify it, that's because he's the problem.
Shut up, Jared. Yeah, that could be it.
He's the problem.
That could be it. That could be it. Look, it's also very embarrassing to Jerry Jones if you hired a head coach who was all hat and no cattle.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what Mike McCarthy is, folks.
The whole situation reminds me of an obscure stand-up bit from the 80s. Jarrett might know this one. You know, you remember Geechee Guy?
Geechee Guy.
Geechee Guy had a joke that said,
like a,
my mom always said there was one weird guy on the bus. I could never find him.
That's good.
Yeah. If Jerry Jones can't find the leadership void, he might be that guy on the bus.
Right. Yeah. What a joy to interview Jerry Jones under stress.
Shut up and let me answer.
He then apologized afterward. But and he was getting cut off because the way Jerry was answering the question was by asking other rhetorical questions that the host wanted to answer. He asked him clearly, is there a leadership void? Do you mean on the offensive line? Is it a talent void? No. Is there a leadership void? Yes, you, Mike McCarthy. Leaders on that team failed to retaliate or defend Andy Dalton in any way, shape, or form.
Can you believe that happened to Andy Dalton and nobody came and jacked up anybody on the opponent? Can you believe the lack of passion on display from that team?
I think that's more telling than anything. Because Andy Dalton, say what you will about him, he's been in the league for a while. He has garnered some level of respect around the league. He's been a successful quarterback at times. And, oh, by the way, Dallas, he's your best chance to win any football games at that position right now. Sorry, Ben DiNucci's not going to get it done for you. So when a veteran, a trusted veteran and a good teammate with a good reputation has that done, and a guy gets thrown out and there's nothing, it was just getting
means that team has quit.
They stole your lunch money,
yeah,
and then they kicked sand in your face.
Would the Cowboys have reacted differently if that was Dak Prescott getting being handed that late hit?
I think so.
Yeah, I think what happened is Andy Dalton took the field for that game against the Cardinals and played so poorly that whatever lingering hope was left that this guy can come in and replace Dak Prescott kind of went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got in the midst of that washing. What time of the game did he get knocked out?
It was the third quarter. They were down 19 at that point.
I think at that point in time, people had given up on Andy Dalton it's really an indictment of that football team. It really is.
Yeah, but
what a mess.
Lack of retaliation, lack of concern for your teammates' well-being. I mean,
the off-the-record quotes about Mike McCarthy, the lack of belief that bordered on insubordination. Yeah, it's a bad scene there, man.
Oh, very bad.
Yeah.
Another big story in the NFL is Cam Newton. He got benched. Bill Belichick says, going with him, he's still the best guy we have at the position. Cam Newton has a weekly spot on WEEI in Boston, and he talked about his recent play.
Nervous? No. Scared? Absolutely not. Thinking? Now, that's something that I could, probably finger point. But yet, there's no need to feel any type of way besides accepting all challenges, and I have to get better, I I'm adamant about it.
I was so impressed with the sound that I heard from that interview from Cam Newton, the way he attacked that question. There was also this argument after the game. Jeff Garcia, the former NFL quarterback, now works for NBC Sports Bay Area. And he was ripping Cam Newton for something completely different after that game, which San Francisco pounded the Patriots in Foxborough.
You go into this game, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You throw, what, 3 more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door and I'll show up on the field and do the best that I
can. Jeff, this sounds like you're speaking from too much experience here. Okay, this sounds you're speaking from experience.
This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
Like,
and
Joe
Joe
Namath.
Yeah.
When
you predict you're going to win a Super Bowl and you go out and do it, wear whatever the hell you want. But, you know, right now, I'm not buying it.
That is, that's really ridiculous.
Look, I think Cam Newton dresses ridiculously. It's lavish. It's, hey, look at me. But does he need to alter his personal style because he lost a game to appease you, to make you feel like I feel as bad as you do to the fan base? Nobody feels worse about that performance than Cam Newton does.
You could tell it was a ridiculous take because everyone else on that show thought he was joking and was laughing hysterically, and he was serious about it.
Yeah. It kind of goes back to, you remember the Derek Anderson Monday Night Football situation?
Mm-hmm.
Was sharing a moment with a teammate on the sideline that the cameras caught. John Gruden calls him out, and now the epic blow-up in the locker room. Because he smiled for 1 second, it was insinuated that he wasn't taking
things
very seriously.
He was talking to Deuce Latouille, and
that's
Deuce
fine.
Is a really funny guy. That's fine.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Derek didn't handle that very well.
No, he didn't. It was a terrible performance, but again, Cam Newton actually was asked about that on WEEI as well, Jeff, to respond to Jeff Garcia.
You know what's crazy? I agree with him. And the fact that, you know, he's a former player, you know, he has every right to say that. And until that happens, then so be it. But that's another opinionated, you know, theory. And it's fair to say. So, I mean, I know I come off to so many different people so many different ways, and that's fine. And he's... you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress.
I thought that was handled very maturely by Cam Newton.
Listen.
And he hasn't always handled things very maturely. Post-Super Bowl, remember that exchange?
Oh, yeah. That wasn't very good.
Yeah.
The self-glossing of Cam Newton, it's the problem that always started with him showing the Superman on his chest in the end zone. Peers, colleagues, guys like that thought that was just a little bit way too self-indulgent. Make it more about the team and not just that. And I think a lot of people have just hated on him without really getting to know what he's all about. Because he does sound very mature. He sounds very reasonable.
Yeah, and he knows he's
level-headed.
He knows he's not playing very well either. And he has. It's been hard to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been just dreadful to watch offensively. But I was actually impressed with the way Cam Newton handled that, at least verbally.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he bounces back. Coming up next, it's Tuesday. We've got a round of mustache, not a mustache, straight ahead. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's the Anderson Ford Poll Question. As it appears on the homepage of ArizonaSports.com, through 7 weeks, who is the Cardinals' biggest competition in the NFC West? 49ers, Rams, or Seahawks? Should be an all button, too, shouldn't there? I can make a case for all three of those teams being the best team in the division.
Yeah. Yeah, I listen. The fact that San Francisco keeps getting decimated by injuries, I would vote the Rams or the Seahawks. I'll go Seahawks,
okay,
then the Rams.
Seahawks are running away with this at 78%, 20% for the Rams. The one team in the division the Cardinals have not seen up close and personal yet. Only 2% for the 49ers. That is today's Sanderson Ford poll question. You can find it, vote on it right now. It's at the homepage of ArizonaSports.com.
Mustache, not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
That's your mom, and she's got a mustache.
All right, it is time for America's fastest-growing facial hair-related quiz sensation, mustache. Not a mustache. where I will play a soundbite or a sound clip or a movie clip or a song or something, and you will tell me whether the person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache. And if you identify the person, you get a bonus point. So 2 points per question. First one, the 10 points. As long as both of you get to go, someone pointed me out, like, oh, it's not first one, the 10 points, because you let the other person go. Okay, relax. Or
that
it's
was not a good impersonation of us, Jared.
No, it wasn't you. It was somebody else on Twitter.
Okay.
But, yeah, so first one, the 10, or whoever's winning when we run out of time, or I run out of questions.
Which is entirely possible.
Which is very, very possible.
Right.
But we'll start, I believe.
Dan Bickley is the reigning champion.
Dan Bickley is the reigning champion.
Yeah, baby.
And as the reigning champion, Dan, you will start this week.
All right.
And we'll start with a musical question.
Okay.
Float like a feather in a beautiful world.
Hope you got the right version.
I wish I was special.
Yeah. That is Tom York from Radiohead, and that is not a mustache.
That is correct. Well done. Yes, I cut it off right before, because I did not have the right version.
Oh,
so
that's good.
Did not want that to get on the air. All right, Vinny, musical question for
if
you.
If I had not said something, had that...
Would, no, I had it edited. Okay, good. I had it edited.
I get bonus points for editing?
No, I had it edited.
Good.
Come on and sing along.
That is certainly a glorious mustache belonging to Lionel Richie.
That is correct. A prominent,
fabulous mustache.
Wonderful mustache. Absolutely right. All right. Dan?
Oh, there's one more thing, sir. Mr. Hart is in Rome. He's going to be back in his hotel room in a little while. Before I talk to him, were you really playing chess the other night?
That is Columbo. Peter Falk, not a mustache.
Yes,
ooh,
correct.
Well done.
Thank absolutely. You. Well done.
I can tell. Bick's on his game.
He is. He's locked in today.
Uh-huh.
All right, Vinny.
I got my vibe right.
This year on the Hideaway has been a marvelous year. We've had so fantastic guests. I was crazy going nuts. Ringo Starr and Margaret, who wore a low-cut thing, and I got to tell you, they look marvelous.
Just a side note before I answer this.
Yes?
I probably got close to being strangled by several different people my eighth grade year because I spoke in that voice for a good portion of that.
He wouldn't stop.
I wouldn't stop. Is Billy Crystal as Fernando Lamas, not a mustache.
Wow.
That is correct.
That's kind of happening now with Borat, isn't it?
Oh,
everybody's
a second wave.
Imitating Borat.
What do you mean?
Oh, here you go.
Young Shemesh,
my wife. My wife.
Have you seen that viral video with the woman doing the wife thing?
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah. It is funny when something hit, and you saw that with Napoleon Dynamite when it came out.
Yes.
Like when something with Anchorman,
it happened. I've fallen prey to all of those trends, by the way.
It's fun, I know, but yeah, it is annoying. All right. Let's go with some musical ones here. First, Dan.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Said a joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
For my money, that is the greatest remake song in rock and roll history. That is Jimi Hendrix, and that is a mustache.
That is correct and correct. All right, Vinny?
Yes.
There must be some way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion.
Hey,
I can't get no relief.
That is not a mustache, Bob Dylan.
That is correct. You know, I could have had Bob Dylan's harmonica if I were only a better game show player.
Yeah. Imagine how much money you could have got when you pawned that.
No, sell it back
about
to them.
That.
All right, let's go here for, it's a 6-6 tie, very strong start here, Dan Bickley.
But I tell you what, I mean, I'll think about it. I'm even going to have to practice this. Ralph, I was ruined. It's kind of stuck in my throat there, stuck in my throat. Ralph, look. I was ruined.
That is Henry Winkler, Arthur Fonzarelli, not a mustache.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Very, very good. Very, very good. All right. Vinny?
Yeah.
Do you think man will ever walk on the sun?
No. The sun is too hot.
What happens if they went in winter when the sun is cold?
That is Sacha Baron Cohen as Ali G. And a mustache.
That is correct.
I wish that show would come back. I don't know if it would be relevant or relate or hit the way it did.
Come back as with new episodes?
Yeah.
I mean, it was hard. You saw in the new Borat movie
how recognizable.
He even couldn't. Yeah, even in small town America, he had to wear like a second costume on top of his Borat costume to get around.
It was the best. Yep. Yeah, that was. I think it was your best Halloween costume too. Once back in the day,
it was.
Yeah.
Booyakasha.
Should that be us? We have a few days. Should we be the three faces of Sacha Baron Cohen?
Nope. I'm all good.
Ali G, Borat.
I'm good.
Bruno, you want to be Bruno? Okay.
Grow up, Jarrett. Quit wearing costumes for Halloween.
Quit trick-or-treating.
All right. Go ahead.
All right.
All right, there I go again, insulting him before a question.
We got a double perfect game going.
That is so stupid of me.
You never mess with a perfect game, Vic.
You don't. I just did.
All right, this would be the first win to 10 points.
All right.
This determines who enters the next round robin. Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, but I wasn't over.
Smokey, my friend, you're entering a world of pain.
Walter, man.
You mark that frame and 8, you're entering a world of pain.
I'm not.
A world of pain.
This is your partner.
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Wow. I don't know this one. The window has been open. I'll guess not a mustache.
No, it is John Goodman with a mustache from Big Lebowski.
Oh. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
Oh, you would enjoy it. You should watch it. It's a very good movie. All right. For the win, Vinny.
All right.
It's called Sex Panther by Odeon. It's illegal in 9 countries. Yep. It's made with bits of real panther. So you know it's good.
They've done studies, you know. 60% of the time, it works every time.
That is a mustache and Paul Rudd as Brian Fantana.
That is correct. A comeback win for Vince Murata, but a very competitive game this week.
A comeback win?
As in you came back from losing last week.
Yeah, but a comeback win, what would be a good soundbite to play there? Eh?
How'd he catch my ass? What the?
I just want to hear that as much as possible.
Well done, yes.
Good game. Good game today. Mustache, not a mustache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, here we go again. Yeah. Real congenial Vinny when he wins. Yeah.
There was no controversy
right,
this week.
Right.
That is true. Yes, I was going to point that out. I still don't. Did you? I don't know if you ever wound up texting.
No, we did get. I saw a still shot of Charlie Steiner broadcasting a World Series game from his living room, and that was enough to satisfy
with me. With a beard.
With a full beard.
There you go.
Yes.
Fantastic.
All right, coming up next, the Arizona Coyotes didn't have a first-round pick in the draft. They didn't have a second-round pick. They didn't have a third-round pick. But, man, are they catching heat for their fourth-round pick. We'll explain next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
A mustache, big mustache, thick mustache, my mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache. If you only got a mustache.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, Bicklin and Murata.
If you're not a big Coyotes or hockey fan, and even if you are, maybe you don't know the name, Mitchell Miller.
Yeah.
Mitchell Miller was the Coyotes' top draft choice in the NHL draft that was just conducted not too long ago. Now, it was a fourth-round selection. He's a freshman at North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And a big story came out in AZ Central, written by Craig Harris and Jose Romero, that the Coyotes selected this 18-year-old Mitchell Miller, who has a bit of, well, he's got something in his past that has now come to light. 4 years ago, as a 14-year-old, Miller, and this is from the article, admitted in an Ohio juvenile court to bullying Isaiah Meyer Carruthers, a black student who has developmental disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
The story details that Meyer Carruthers was tricked into licking a candy push pop that Miller and another boy had wiped in a bathroom urinal. Meyer Carruthers had to be tested for hepatitis, HIV, and STDs, but the test came back negative. There's mm-hmm. quotes from Isaiah Meyer Carruthers, who's now 18. He lives in Detroit. He said there was a history of racial verbal abuse. Quote, he pretended to be my friend and made me do things I didn't want to do. In junior high, I got beat up by him. Everyone thinks he's so cool that he gets to go to the NHL, but I don't see how someone can be cool when you pick on someone and bully someone your entire life. There's a lot more to the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nuts and bolts of it. One of the effects is the Coyotes, widespread now, are getting a lot of criticism for making this selection because they had knowledge of this incident that happened 4 years ago when Miller was 14.
Yes. There was a psychological profile done by the Coyotes of this prospect, and then they had to go back and amend the psychological profile because they got wind of this bullying incident. And the psychological profile, to say the least, isn't exactly impressed with Mitchell's response and or remorse in the situation. This is a very embarrassing situation for the Coyotes, not only because it's just another yucky story in the transition of ownership when we thought that this ownership was going to be the white horse and the savior for this franchise. But Xavier Gutierrez, the guy who's basically running the show now, was recently appointed to the diversity committee in the NHL. So really bad look. Now, an NHL source told me that after the psychological profile, John Shaika took this guy's name off the board.
Mm-hmm.
John Shaika eventually left the organization. Now,
And there was a sort of weird limbo because Bill Armstrong had agreed to become the general manager,
right,
but because of an agreement they had with the St. Louis Blues, his former franchise, he had no involvement in this mm-hmm. draft. So there was this big gray area of mm-hmm. who was controlling the draft, and this is what happened.
Yeah, and so if you follow the chronology of this psychological profile, you will see that the person who did this profile reached back out to this young man and said, "Hey, I need to set up a second interview with you to talk about this incident." And at that point in time, Mitchell told the psychological profiler that there's going to be a letter going out to all NHL GMs immediately.
Mm-hmm.
The psychological profile after the interview of this disgusting bullying situation, and props to Craig Harris and who was the other?
Jose Romero.
Props to them for really fleshing out that story, if you will. Poor choice of words in the context of the story. How disappointed the family of this young man is, and how this young man who was bullied had some developmental issues, which really kind of speaks to a poor character person who would bully somebody suffering from those issues.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this psychological profile shows that there's not a lot of remorse shown by this young man, and maybe fears of legal challenges or legal issues that might arise now that this young man has become a pro. Maybe that's forcing him to be kind of buttoned up about this whole thing. But this is just another bad look for the Coyotes. You got this new guy in there, Bill Armstrong, whom, when this thing went down, no less of an authority than Darren Pang said, "Coyote fans, you're getting a really, really good executive." And I thought, okay, you know what? The Coyotes have gotten lucky before. When the Dave Tippett thing went down, Rick Tocchet was available, and Rick Tocchet came in and is really kind of normalized things as much as that hockey franchise can be normalized. This, though, is just a really bad look in terms of pre-draft preparation. Now, this can't be on Bill Armstrong because Bill Armstrong is not supposed to be involved with this draft.
Nor was he.
And so the Coyotes have been forced to issue a statement where they seem to acknowledge, yeah, we knew about this, but we chose to be part of his rehabilitation rather than shut him out because of this. Okay. It's a bad look. It's a bad look at a bad, bad time.
It is a bad look, but obviously questions arise, Bick. And like I mentioned, there's this call, a widespread call for the Coyotes to sever ties with this draft pick now. And I'm you know, reading this article, I was disgusted. I can't stand stories like this.
Yeah.
I know how cruel kids can be to each other.
Yep.
And it's
heartbreaking to see it.
Yes. There's been efforts to improve in that area in schools and education with all of it. Bullying makes me sick.
Yeah.
Especially in a case this extreme.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of it, should a young man, should his life be over without the chance to, you know, reconcile his transgressions?
No.
At the age of 14, no
Mitchell
less.
Miller was, he was 14 when this all went down, eighth grade, is that right? Yeah. That to me is the mitigator in this. The mitigator in all of this is the age of the child involved here. Because, you know, we've all done idiotic things at that age. There's very little maturity to be found in a 14-year-old boy.
True.
And so that also becomes a sticky issue here. But it's a bad look for the Coyotes, given the fact that Xavier Gutierrez has assumed a prominent position on an NHL diversity committee. So that in and of itself should say that your organization's doing a lot of vetting. Clearly, this is something that, you know, they did not know right at the very beginning. And maybe a lot of NHL teams did not know. But this is part of Mitchell Miller's backstory that is, you know, clouds an already uncertain future for this franchise.
Absolutely. What I don't know, and I have to read more into this, is was this kid available? And it's not, you know, the central point of the story, but was he available in the fourth round because of this?
Mm-hmm.
Is he a better talent? There's so many
Maybe.
Different aspects to it. Again, the story is sickening, but I'm all for personal growth and development as well. I don't know how to feel about this story, but I will agree with what you said with the uncertainty in this draft. And we even talked about it when Bill Armstrong was named and we learned about that agreement that they had with the St. Louis Blues, that their new general manager could have no involvement in their draft process.
Mm-hmm.
This is the kind of stuff that I would never have imagined this could be the case, but that's what you guard against as an organization.
That's exactly right, especially given the situation that there is now. So this is another PR mess at the very, very least.
Oh, yeah, and I don't think the pressure from the outside is going to go away because, you know, we've seen stories like this. We've you know, not necessarily with the same ingredients, but with similarities, and teams move on. I wonder what the Coyotes' response to all this pressure is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see in their statement they're standing by this young man and they're positioning themselves to be agents of change to help him grow up and grow past this incident. But like you said, there's a lot of pressure that's out there.
Mm-hmm. We're halfway through on this Tuesday. The Bickley Blast is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.